The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? And we are right back at it. Sharks play tonight, 7 o'clock, hosting Toronto. Pre-game 6:30 right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Some of the news out of this morning's availability. We do see that Igor Chernyshov is going to be a game-time decision. Still dealing with a little bit of the after effects of that illness. If he's not ready to go, then it appears that Kurashev will play. Nedeljkovic is going to get the start. And also it appears that Ty Dellandrea will not be part of that lineup just because they're not having him go back-to-back coming back from his injury. But we've got a lot to get into, and we are going to bring in Curtis Pashelka, who does a phenomenal job covering the Sharks for Bay Area News Group. Curtis, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Doing well, Ted. How are you?
I'm doing very well and just ready to get back at it again with the Sharks on the second night of a back-to-back against a Toronto team that is resoundingly out of it, but somehow has won 3 out of 4. And obviously they've had news with their front office, have some headlines in the last couple of days here. You know, just before we even get into the Sharks and tonight's game, when you see Vegas make a coaching change after the deadline, when you see Toronto making a change at the GM this late in the year, do you kind of question why so late? You know, why not do this in the offseason when it might not have, I guess, for the GM, a little bit of a destabilizing effect? And then with Vegas, why not do this during the Olympic break when it was clear that they were a troubled team even then?
Yeah, I guess the, you know, the firing of Bruce Cassidy, you know, last week, it was, I wondered the same thing. I was like, well, maybe just do this during the Olympic break, but, you know, from the, you know, Vegas management's perspective, they figured they wanted to give, you know, that coaching, you know, Bruce Cassidy, you know, every chance to sort of get things going in the right direction. It just never really came to pass. So, you know, they're a team, obviously, that's they're in a win now mode, and they just felt they were underachieving. So maybe not surprised that the move was made, but that, you know, like you said, the timing of it was a little peculiar with just, you know, just a couple of weeks left in the season here. And then from Toronto's perspective, you know, I think it was a situation, just reading from the reports, that, you know, the Leafs, you know, hierarchy was already thinking about making a change. And it was, you know, was probably going through that process anyway. And then I think Brad Treeling approached the president of MLSC and kind of just said, hey, if you're going to do this, let's just do it now. And if I'm not your guy going forward, then let's just part ways and go from there. And so that's the decision that they made. And so that's, you know, it's kind of just maybe the reality of the NHL. I mean, from a coach's perspective, it's always been sort of a volatile industry. And then, you know, when you're in a high pressure market like Toronto or anywhere else, really, if you're not getting the job done and your contract only stipulates you've only got a little bit of time left, then you know, those things, kind of things can happen. So just the nature of the beast right now, and, you know, two kind of underachieving teams making changes.
Not to defend Vegas, because they don't need my defense, or Bruce Cassidy specifically, because whether or not it worked out there, the guy's a brilliant coach. But it's not like the troubles of Vegas are specific to them. I mean, if you look at the rest of the West right now, only Edmonton and San Jose are suddenly the hot teams. Even the previously hot Nashville side, they've cooled off with 3 losses in a row. St. Louis, they're coming off a couple of losses now, and even though they had won about 8 out of 11, it's not like it's just Vegas in the West that has not been able to steady the ship. It's everybody but the top three teams in the Central, I would argue.
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head there, where you've got basically, you know, only a handful of teams that are really meeting expectations. And I would even probably put the Sharks in that category, maybe exceeding expectations from earlier in the season. So, you know, I think, you know, you look at Anaheim, I think, you know, like I said, they cooled off a little bit here. St. Louis got hot for a little stretch, but, you know, they're starting to come back down to earth. And, you know, so you wonder, like, about teams like the Kings and, you know, like, you know, Nashville too. I mean, what changes are in store for them this coming off season, if anything else happens. So, yeah, it's interesting to see kind of how things change quickly in this league if things aren't going well, and there are going to be more changes coming up in the offseason, I assume.
I know we run out of the terminologies and the, you know, just hyperbolic nature of praising Macklin Celebrini, but watching him do it again last night, put the team on his back, come up with the big goals, the clutch moments. I mean, should we be surprised in any way? Because I have a relative expectation that he's going to do something spectacular, but even when he does it, I'm still pretty blown away. And, you know, the way suddenly he's racked up 2, 3, and 4 points in 3 consecutive games, he's now the second best season in the history of Sharks, you know, for point total. And, you know, what he did last night to get the game tying goal and then assist on the game winning. I mean, it's just, it's truly a unique and uncanny, his ability to come up with the clutch moments.
Right, exactly. And, you know, doing this so late in the season too, when you figure a young guy like him might be starting to hit the wall a little bit, is even more impressive. But, you know, I think, like the win over Columbus and the win over St. Louis and the way and the manner in which the Sharks won those games, you know, sort of led to the belief that in last night's game that the Sharks could, you know, summon, get a goal and sort of tie things up and then kind of go from there. And, you know, they kind of a lot of belief going in that room a lot right now. And a lot of it has to do with number 71 and the way he's playing and kind of taking that team on his back right now and sort of willing them into potentially a playoff appearance here. So it's just been impressive to see. And, you know, last night's game reminded me just a little bit of, game 7 against Vegas a little bit in 2019, where it was just like you got some momentum going and then, you know, boom, boom, it was the Sharks were ahead by a goal there with 31 seconds left in the third period of that Alex Lindbergh's goal. So, you know, pretty exciting game overall. And like you said, it's you can't wait to see what's going to happen next with Macklin Celebrini and the way he's playing right now. And we'll see what happens tonight. I think I talked to a couple guys this morning and they just said, hey, I mean, it's as fun as last night, exciting as last night win was, it doesn't really mean too much if we can't win tonight. We got to just give all that momentum right back. So it should be an interesting game tonight with Toronto and Tom.
It is interesting that the Sharks have not won more than 4 games in a row, I believe, since the 2018-2019 season. They've had a couple of 4-game win streaks. If they were to win tonight, that makes the game on Saturday against Nashville their first opportunity to get a 5-game win streak in a long, long time. There's almost a story writer's rhyme in that storyline, the way it's setting up for Saturday against Nashville. And, you know, it's going to be a pretty wild ride to the finish here. And I guess just even though we always say this is a young team, which I know they are by the averages, but there are players with experience. But I mean, do you think that a Wenberg, a Goodrow, you know, players like that can help settle the waters as this team goes into uncharted territory for the young guys who are quote unquote leading the way?
Yeah, for sure. And they kind of have to, really. I mean, you look at, Alex Wenberg, his role right now, obviously, getting some time in the power play and you know, getting chipping in with some offense too. But he's sort of relied upon to be sort of the shutdown guy in terms of matching up against the other team's best players. He did it last night with Leo Carlson, skating up against him quite a bit in that line too. So that's going to be his role going forward. And sort of he needs to sort of keep that going. And obviously you mentioned Barkley Goodrow. I mean, you can't, coaching staff is, you know, can't stop saying good things about him and the way he's played so far this year, the leadership he's demonstrated and sort of the identity that he helps give this team. And so you look at him and some other older players on this team and that, like I said, like the young guys are getting all the headlines and getting all the attention and rightfully so, but you still need those veteran presences to sort of lead the way in terms of the right way to play this time of year when everybody's sort of starting to tighten up a little bit and it just gets a little bit harder to generate offense and generate those type of scoring chances, I guess.
What did you make of Ty Dellandrea last night in his return?
I thought he was good. I thought he got a little bit better as the game went on. I mean, it's so tough. I mean, it's been 3 months since he played played a game, and so he really didn't have. He's been practicing a little while for the team as of now, and he got some conditioning work that way, but you can't really replicate a game just in practice like that. So I thought he got a little bit better as the game went on. I think the third period was pretty good for him. Not playing tonight. The Sharks are trying to have a plan for him not to play on back-to-back nights at this stage, and so it's just a matter of who kind of fills that spot. Igor Chernyshov, I think, We'll probably get back in the lineup tonight. He skated a little bit this morning, sort of get his legs under him after he missed last night's game with an illness. And if for some reason he can't go, then Philip Kuryshev will draw in. But Kuryshev was among the group of players who were kind of getting bag skated later this morning. So I don't know if if the Sharks are necessarily planning on him getting in the lineup tonight. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes up. But I thought it was a pretty good first game for Delandry, and I'm sure he'll be able to take on a little bit more here as the regular season comes to a close.
What do you make of the Regenda situation? Because I know the easy criticism on him is he's not the best defender in the world, but I do think he does add a nice physical presence out there, and obviously he knows how to score and he can get net front, and that's been an issue for the Sharks, is that net front presence against like a Wolf in Calgary. You know, they can't bomb from the circles and get anything past him. And in games down the stretch, they're going to need somebody to get down low. But maybe they're hoping that's what Chernyshov can do here. Assuming he gets healthy.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, he's not a young guy. He's been a professional for quite a few years now, and kind of knows what plays to his strengths and knows what he has to do to sort of be successful. And you're sort of mentioning the net front presence there. It's kind of where he made his bones and was able to kind of stay in the NHL after they first called him up. And so he's kind of, it's an interesting situation. I mean, you bring in a Kiefer Sherwood, that's going to take away somebody's minutes. And you mentioned Chernyshov, and he's obviously going to make an impact when a winger. So there's only really so many spots for that are open right now. And I think more Ryan Rosofsky really likes the way his fourth line is playing right now and doesn't necessarily want to break them up. And for Pavel, it's tough for him. I'm sure he'd love to get into more games, but it's just one of those situations where if the team's winning like it is right now and you've got an effective fourth line for the most part, it's just going to be tough for Regenda to get into the lineup here without unless there are several more injuries or if this team sort of hits the skids over the next week or so.
And speaking of that fourth line, what did you think of Zach Ostapchuk and his fight last night with Jeffrey Viel, a former San Jose Shark who knows his way around the scraps? I know that Ostapchuk kind of joked that he blacked out, but that was a pretty good sustained little rumble those two had.
Yeah, it was. And, good for Zach to sort of step up there in that moment and, try to get something going, early in the third period last night. I mean, obviously the Ducks had just taken a 3-2 lead and we're starting to sort of settle in into their game and, try to protect that lead. And so I think that game or that fight really kind of, maybe gave the Sharks a little bit of a spark. And, it was a good little scrap. Like you said, I didn't like how it ended. I think VL kind of dragged Ostapchuk to the ice like that. It was kind of scary there for a minute. I was wondering if, Zach was going to crack his head against the ice or something like that. But luckily he was okay and just had a little welt underneath his eye, I think, after last night's game. So should be good to go for tonight. And, he's another guy who's sort of really grown from the start of camp until now into that role. And, I don't think he's ever going to be a, necessarily an offensive guy. I think, if he gets to 10 to 15 goals in a year, you'll take that all day long. But just really studying into his role as a fourth line center and kind of knows what he has to do to be successful along with that line with Pavel Regenda and Adam Gaudette right now. So that's, I think the Sharks are kind of like the way he's progressed this year for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he in his speed is really interesting to have out there, and especially with Gaudette as well, like you brought up on that fourth line, because they've been trying on a number of occasions to get that stretch pass going to Gaudette to spring him. And obviously Gaudette had a big goal a couple nights ago in the waning moments of the game. But the speed suddenly that we're seeing more and more on that fourth line, where maybe it wasn't quite the same when you had Ryan Reeves out there, it was a little bit, not as young as he used to be, like the rest of us, is more about his proximity, physicality, and that aspect of his game. But, watching Gaudette out there with an Ostapchuk as well as, Goodrow, who's been a better skater this year, it's an interesting dynamic that they bring to the ice.
It is. And, I think it's a line that Ryan Rosofsky has a lot of trust in, to throw on the ice in any situation, really. I mean, you look back at that game in St. Louis and, the fourth line is out there with less than a minute to go. And that just goes to show how much trust that the coaching staff has in there. And Adam Gaudette scores scores a late goal there to give the Sharks the win. So, so it's, it's important for the Sharks to sort of have a grind line like that, an energy line, whatever you want to call it, because it seems that all the guys on the team sort of feed off that, and it's a line that's kind of can help change momentum in certain situations.
What did you think of Dmitry Orlov bouncing back from a bad mistake last night?
Yeah, I mean, he's a veteran guy. He's had rough nights before, and he kind of knows how to sort of put those things in the rearview mirror and just continue to look forward to the next shift. And I think Ryan Rosowski talked about it this morning. And then, they're not going to chastise him on the bench for that kind of mistake. It's just okay, just move forward, play the next shift and keep going, because you don't really have time to sort of sulk and feel sorry for yourself in those types of situations. You just got to forget about it, move on, and see if you can, help tie the game at that point. It was a bad turnover. There's no question about it, but, he's a veteran guy. Like I said, a Stanley Cup winner, and kind of knows what he needs to do to sort of bounce back with those type of situations. And, he's logging a lot of minutes right now and very important role and those type of mistakes. I mean, that they stand out when they happen, but like you said, if it's how you respond to those types of situations. And obviously had the assist on the on Max Celebrini's tying goal there in the third period is pretty impressive to see.
Yeah, very impressive. As the Sharks get deeper into this and they're facing all these challenges, do you start thinking about how much of this is replicable for a year from now? Because I know, I'm trying not to, view it as in like, oh, they've got a horseshoe, stuck up their rear end, because I don't. I think they've been very unlucky in various situations. But we talked a year ago about, if they can turn these one goal losses or these, one plus an empty netters, 50% of them into wins, they could be in the playoff conversation, which is essentially what they have done. But how does that translate to the growth of a team going forward? Because you're not always going to have this many tight wins, I guess. They need to turn into a team that can give themselves a little daylight on a lead and kind of win easy, because I don't remember very many easy wins for San Jose this year.
No, exactly. I asked Ryan Rosowski this morning, was last night's win sort of a repeatable type game for his team? Obviously, you don't want to, fall behind in the third period like they did and, take as many penalties as they did in the first period. And so they're just aspects of last night's game that the Sharks definitely want to improve on. But you look at the comparison between last year and this year, the Sharks have done a much better job holding third period leads as opposed to last year. I think last year they actually lost more games than they won when they held the third period lead, which is kind of crazy. But but this year they've been much, much better in that department, and it's kind of helped them get to where they are right now. And so that's the type of experience that is valuable for this Sharks team, is to sort of, know what it takes to protect the lead. They haven't always done a tremendous job of that, but they've done a much better job than they had it last year, for sure. So that's sort of the area of growth I think the Sharks are kind of excited about, to see what these guys kind of know what they have to do to sort of protect these. And, it doesn't help when, it doesn't hurt anyone. When you get, pretty good goaltending like the Sharks for the most part did last night, and then the other night too. And, Askarov let in a couple goals he probably didn't like in the Blues game, but still made some big saves down the stretch, timely saves. So, you put it all together, and it's a team that's sort of learning what to do in those types of situations, I guess.
And what are your thoughts on this game tonight against a Toronto team that has shown, a little bit of life as of late, but is clearly out of the picture in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah. I mean, that's a team, I think, that's, they know sort of what works for them. I mean, I think, I got a coach behind the bench in Craig Berube. He's still very prideful, wants to finish off the season strong. I don't know what his future necessarily holds, but, he's going to coach to win in every single game here. I know there's, some a lot of talk, you should tank and that kind of thing. I don't think that's necessarily Craig Berube's blood. Mm-hmm. So I think he's trying to get these guys to sort of continue to play the right way and be competitive in games. I know that always hasn't happened for that team this this year, especially in the second half. But I think, like you said, with the way they played here recently, even after Austin Matthews has injured for the rest of the season, they still kind of figure out ways to play with some more emotion and give teams fits down the stretch here. And they've got some a couple of impressive wins here just recently. So I think the Sharks kind of know what they're what they're facing here, and they got to be ready. You know, they can't afford to get off to a slow start against this team. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting game, and you want to kind of continue the momentum that you built up for the first little bit of this homestand, and you know, go into a day off tomorrow and into Saturday's game, like you said, with more momentum, and we're being right on the cusp of a playoff spot here.
Curtis, great stuff as always, man. I appreciate your time. Keep up the great work, and I will see you tonight.
Okay, sounds good, Ted. Thank you.
Again, that's Curtis Peschelka of Bay Area News Group. We are all out of time. Pre-game 6:30, go time tonight, 7 o'clock, as the San Jose Sharks take on Toronto. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.